Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. On behalf of our family of hosts, staff, and the millions of listeners who have tuned in since 2009, we want to wish you happy holidays and ask for your support as we launch our daily in-house news coverage. Please consider making us a part of your end-of-year giving in 2013. Your membership donation is tax deductible and the best way to show you believe in our work and the importance of a free, food-focused media resource. Consider donating today at heritageradionetwork.org by clicking the donate button. Thanks for your support and enjoy the show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the business of the business. That is the radio show here at the Heritage Radio Network that explores the business side of the hospitality industry. And we air every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. And it just happens to be Wednesday. And it's 5 o'clock. So if you're tuning in, I hope you'll sit down and relax. Enjoy the next 30 minutes of what I hope to be interesting conversation. With a very interesting guest. If you miss the live broadcast here, and every once in a while someone misses the live broadcast, I never quite understand how that happens, you can go to www.heritageradionetwork.org, click on to the archives button, and you can find the 30 or 40 past shows that the business of the business has archived. And I'm your host, Phil Colicchio. And without further ado, I think we ought to get down to business. If you're a regular listener to the show, you may have heard me speak about an endeavor of which I am particularly proud, and that is to be on the board of advisors of the Restaurant and Hospitality Management Program at Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. I found that to be a very rewarding experience. I get to work with some terrific faculty, extraordinary students, and I really get to see a different take on the business of hospitality education. I'm really fortunate because of a geographical quirk to have my good friend Dr. Martin O'Neill, who is the program director at the University of Auburn in the School of Nutrition and Dietetics.
And Hospitality Management.
And also Brewing Science. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into a big flowery introduction because you have so many interesting things to talk about, Dr. O'Neill, that I want to welcome you to Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Yeah, thank you very much.
First time?
Yeah, first time in Brooklyn, apart from the weekend when I got lost on a train. I was here with my wife and two kids, and we were headed to Battery Park, and it seemed the train didn't stop, and we didn't realize until we were five, six stops down the line. But first time to Bushwick, and what can I say? It's a very nice location, and what a very interesting studio.
And there
I was watching people eat food until 2 minutes ago, and I'm starving to death.
But, yeah, you know, no. Well, we'll fix that. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, our beautiful studio overlooks dining room B at the wonderful Roberta's restaurant here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And occasionally we do have to watch ourselves because people are eating this terrific Roberta's pizza right outside of our window. But for now, enough about Roberta's, because I've got you here for a while, and I really want the audience to get the benefit of talking to someone who actually runs a full tilt major as well as a graduate program at a major university in the United States that's devoted solely to hospitality. Martin, your accent is not one I expect to hear when I'm in Alabama. Little background.
Yeah, I like to tell people when they look at me first time that I'm from North Alabama. People sound a little bit different from North Alabama. But actually, I'm from far northeast Alabama. I grew up in Northern Ireland. I was raised in Northern Ireland at 30 years of age. I got itchy foot syndrome. Found my way to Western Australia. I worked for a wonderful university in Western Australia, Edith Cowan University, where I directed a program on hospitality management and for a time a tourism program, and had an opportunity actually to visit Auburn with a colleague in 1999 and developed a research partnership with a colleague at Auburn. And I came back in 2001 on my own right with a group of Australian kids, and during that period, they interviewed me for a position at Tenure Track Line, and it was a yes, no, yes, no, yes sort of a situation. And finally, I think I was interviewed in, I would say it was probably August 2001, and we arrived on the 31st of December 2002, so New Year's Eve 2002, and we've been there for 11 years.
Now, was your initial goal just to teach
and
research?
Yes, it was. I left a very fractious environment in Australia, and you have this wonderful thing.
We don't think of Australia as having fractious.
Yeah, they're very direct when it comes down to doing business. But a wonderful group of people. They were just going through a lot of turmoil in the institution at that point in time. But you have this wonderful thing in the United States that we don't have in the academic environment elsewhere in the world, and that is called a 9-month tenure track appointment. So you can come to the United States, you can teach and conduct yourself in the research sense for 9 months in the year, and then for 3 months you can do whatever the hell you please. Mm-hmm. And that appealed to me an awful, awful lot. So it was the first time in my life that I was going to have the opportunity to take that opportunity and to do that. And I arrived with that very much in mind, and was enjoying a good few years of teaching and undertaking research free of the burden of administration.
Amen. Well, ultimately, it dragged you back. But before we get into that, because I know the actual administration of this particular program has been rewarding for you.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of folks don't recognize that there is a career track in academia in the hospitality industry. How did you decide to pursue that route as opposed to I want to manage hotels, or I want to own a restaurant group, or I want to be a chef. Where does that sort of moment come in the road where you say I like the science of all of this?
Yeah. For me, actually, it was quite accidental. I was a practitioner. I worked prior to going to university. I worked all the way through university. My background was in food and beverage, initially food production. And then I moved into food service.
Now, food production is a fancy word for
working in a kitchen. Let's just say working in a kitchen.
Right.
From washing dishes to sort of salad
peeling,
prep
peeling
to
potatoes,
soups and
right.
sauces, peeling potatoes. We were referred to at school as glorified egg beaters, so that's what I did. I beat a few eggs for a few years.
Very good.
And then I moved into restaurant management, and I was enjoying my time. Upon graduation, I left to go and work for Hilton. Actually, we opened a property with Hilton in Newbury, in Berkshire, in England, and my wife was just after having our first child and decided that the move to England was a little bit too much. So I came back to Northern Ireland and started working for the Emerald Hotel Group. And,
well-known group.
Well, at that point in time, I worked at the Europa Hotel in Belfast, which at that point, I guess, was known as the most bombed hotel in the world for obvious reason. But a wonderful place to work and a wonderful group of people to work with. And, you know, I enjoyed it. But when you think on the history of Northern Ireland, you had, for a lot of very obvious reasons, a very underperforming hospitality environment.
Yeah, it wasn't known as a welcoming.
No, right. No. The irony is, of course, it was always a very welcoming place, but you had to get the right message out to the public. We had a very captive tourism audience in a business sense and a visiting friends and relative sense, but in a pure tourism sense, which is a much more high-spending market, we didn't enjoy it. So consequently, industry was not investing heavily in product, not investing heavily in people. And that sort of forced me to consider other options. And one Saturday morning was sitting talking to my wife. She opened the newspaper. It was referred to as the Irish News at that point in time, mm-hmm. and said, "Oh, look, Jordanstown are offering a master's degree in hospitality." And I thought, well, that's interesting. What's all that about? And approximately 2 years after starting that, I had my first academic appointment. At the same school that I went to as an undergrad. It was the University of Ulster again, but the McGee College campus in the northwest in Derry City.
I want to hear a little bit, because we're going to spend a lot of time on the current program at Auburn, but I'm really interested in your professional development.
Mm-hmm.
When you saw, all right, there's a master's program.
Sure.
Talk about what a master's program curriculum is mm-hmm. in the hospitality mm-hmm. industry.
Yeah, at that point, really, you had one of two options on a master's degree. There are, I guess, well, looking at them, you have a research track. And a research track is really all about developing, I guess, a background in research that you can take on to a PhD and then move on in an academic sense to be, I guess, a professor, mm-hmm. as you term it here in the United States, to work in academia formally. The program that I undertook at that point in time, or at least the one that I thought I was undertaking, was really geared toward higher level thinking and getting you back into industry. My goal was, well, if they don't listen to me with an undergraduate, maybe they'll listen to me with a postgraduate qualification.
And the they that
industry,
you were speaking of.
Industry.
Okay. All
industry. Right. But along the way, it turned out I had developed a bit of an aptitude for research, and my major professor, who has since passed away, a wonderful guy called Rob Larimer, who had headed the program at the University of Ulster at a point, recognized that and suggested that I take a different track, and I did. And I engaged in the research process and found out that I did have an aptitude for it, and I quite enjoyed it, and that's really what bit me. But when I finished the master's degree, at that point it was difficult to find a job. There was a newly developing hotel chain in Ireland owned by a very nice Indian gentleman, Diljit Rana, and I had started to work for him. And at the same time, had taken a full-time job with the Northern Ireland Civil Service.
Oh my.
And at the same time, was working part-time as a research associate, as it were, with the program at the
right.
University of Ulster. And, you know, they invited me to apply for a position that they told me I would never get. And foolishly, I thought, well, that's a good opportunity to go and catch up with old friends again. So I went along and I interviewed. And in actual fact, I probably made a little bit too merry the night before. But that day when I got back to Belfast, I called my major professor who was on the committee and apologized for my performance. And he asked me why. And I said, well, you know, I probably just wasn't firing on all cylinders. To which he responded, well, hasn't David, who was the then department head, hasn't David called you? And I said, well, no, Dad, I upset him too. And he said, no, when I was department head, I always made it my business to call the successful candidate.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you, there was a lot of shock. And I think my wife walked out of the kitchen. Had heard the phone fall to the floor and wondered what had happened.
And this was that was the gateway.
That was the gateway to what has turned into a very, how will I put it, rewarding career to this point in academia. Now, you know, I go back again. I like to joke with people and say I come from the end of a long country lane in Northern Ireland. And I grew up in an environment where not a lot of people got to university. And I was certainly the first in my family mm-hmm. ever to make that move. And there were a lot of unknowns about that. So to sort of make my way along the path that I did, it's been a little bit surprising. I think if you went back to most of my teachers, including my professors as an undergraduate at university, they'd probably be turning in their graves right now.
Well, Martin, I think all of us who have had any degree of success can look back at teachers who are shocked.
Yeah.
that we've managed. My guest today on The Business of the Business is Dr. Martin O'Neill, who is an associate professor of hospitality and the program director of the Hospitality and Brewing Science Program at Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. When we return from a short break, I'm going to ask Martin a little bit more about his pursuit of an academic career, a career in hospitality that very few people, I think, realize exists, and once again, fewer realize the impact that it has on the industry itself. Later in the broadcast and then further on next week in the second half of our interview, we're going to talk a great deal about Auburn University and why their program, frankly, is quite spectacular. We're going to take a break now. We'll be back with Martin O'Neill, PhD, in a moment.
I don't go in for understanding when you are away. Can't use my heart to think away the time. In my room I will await you, and so soon I will relate you. And tie your finger right on up to mine. Sweet Josephine, you live in my dream. Sleep right by my side. And I bid you well forever, my belle. You'll always be mine.
You are listening to Josephine by The Hollows on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Patience is a virtue that I practice all the time. I can't prepare my heart for joy sublime. In my room I will attend you, and my heart it will defend you. Broken records keep in perfect time. Sweet Josephine, you live in my dream. Sleep right by my side. And I bid you well forever, my belle. You'll always be my bride. Consolation, never second best. I'll practice till I get you right, my dear. So know that I will love you.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hey, welcome back to the business of the business here on the HRN Radio Network, the Heritage Radio Network, here broadcasting out of Roberta's in Brooklyn, New York, in particular, Bushwick. I want to welcome my new producer, Evan DeVito, who is doing a great job for us today. And I'm particularly happy to welcome back my guest and friend, Dr. Martin O'Neill. From Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. Martin, we stopped before the break as we were analyzing a career in the hospitality industry that is sort of often a road not taken, and that is to stay within the academic world and bring on new generations of hospitalitarians. We just finished talking about your pursuit of a master's degree, where you've probably thought, okay, that's as far as I'm going to go in academia. I'm going to take that, master's degree, and I'm going to leverage it into a business position in a hotel group. But that's not where it ended, was it?
No, absolutely not.
Why? Why?
Well, I want to say I always had an interest in teaching. Working. Well, first of all, going through the system as an undergraduate, you meet some excellent teachers and you meet some that are just absolutely horrible. And, I remember sitting in a classroom on Friday afternoon. I think it was law. You'd be interested to hear that. And I had determined, having suffered through this class for something like 10 weeks, that really, if I was ever given the opportunity to talk to kids about hospitality and anything, that I would not do it in that way, that I would do it a little bit differently. So I always had an interest, and of course that, I guess that transferred into the real world when I was training kids on the job, sometimes off the job, and I had an interest. I was always very happy to do it. But when given the opportunity to stand before a group of kids, and I can tell you the very first class I took, I remember pacing the floorboards. It was on the subject of tourism, and I paced the floorboards for about 8 hours the night before. I actually never slept, and I had a full-blown flu, and went in that next morning, and it clicked. It just absolutely clicked, and I knew it at that point in time. And when I walked out of there, I said, no, this is for me. And in order to move up and move on in that system, and there is that, you know, that little word that hangs over all of us today, and that is tenure or permanency.
Yeah, you know.
You have to have a PhD.
You do.
Yeah, you have to pursue it.
So your initial teaching experience was not in the United States?
No, it was not. It was in Northern Ireland. I worked as a faculty member for the University of Ulster. You would call it your old alma mater, as it were. It may sound very incestuous, but all three of my degrees and my teaching qualification come from the University of Ulster. I'm very proud of that.
Well, you achieved your diversity after
I did.
After you obtained those degrees.
Yeah.
When the master's program concluded, what area did you concentrate in?
My area was quality. And, you know, I worked.
What does that mean? That's a key component of the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
Yet it's such a misunderstood word.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very subjective term that we pay a lot of lip service to, unfortunately, within the industry still today. But, you know, as I indicated, I worked in a very underperforming sector of the broader tourism umbrella, and people were not investing in what they should have been. And that one word to me had always been quality. So my master studies were undertaken in and around the area of total quality management, quality assurance, quality control, whatever way you want to term that. And I got
How does
into,
that translate to a consumer of hospitality?
Well, that was my area. That's what I was looking at. I was looking at investing in system development such that it would improve the consumer experience, and not just in a one-time shop sense, but over the longer term. So really what we were about was developing true loyalty and, you know, creating consumers into ambassadors for our product and our service over the longer term.
You know, Martin, a well-known restaurateur here, Danny Meyer, he wrote a terrific book called Setting the Table. And he used a phrase that I like to appropriate, frankly, that in his mind, hospitality is really about the anticipation of needs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very gentle phrase, but when you peel away, it's about the anticipation of needs. There are a lot, you take that rock off the ground, and there's an awful lot of research that goes into how to anticipate a need, isn't there?
I want to say that was the next step for me on my doctoral thesis. We were looking at a lot of these evaluation measures that had been developed to, I guess, speak to whether organizations had satisfied or not expectations. Mm-hmm. And that's been something that I've been working on ever since. There are a lot of areas that interest me particularly, and one of those is quality over the longer term. Another one is the issue of identifying the importance of a lot of these issues, these variables, these attributes to consumers, in addition to questioning how well we're doing in relation to their delivery. The key point being that you may be doing well on something that's not that important. And if you can't identify it, you can't rectify it. And at the same time, you may be underperforming in an area that's very important. But another one of the areas, and we talked about a little earlier today before coming in, is this whole recovery business. And that fascinates me also. I mean, I am a classic professional complainer. And the professional complaining I do is really all about improving the service, helping them better anticipate the need and understanding what goes behind the need. And where they failed, helping them understand how that makes me feel and offering my interpretation of why it failed and what they can do into the future. It's funny, some companies react rather badly to it. Others see it for what it is. It's free consultancy.
Right.
And you're helping them improve in a continual sense.
Again, my guest is Dr. Martin O'Neill from Auburn University, the hospitality management division of the School of Nutrition and
Dietetics and hospitality.
It is a mouthful. How's that research done? I mean, and when we're talking about, you know, when I'm a guest at a hotel or a restaurant, you know, the last thing I want to do is be interviewed about my experience.
Yeah.
And usually I'm guilty.
Mm-hmm.
The comments that I make, but for a few, are often to point out the deficiencies, rather than to talk about what a great experience I had. And I've tried to incorporate that into my life, frankly, because I think that's just as important feedback as possible. Sure. But how do you do that research in terms of quality improvement?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways. There are a lot of different approaches
What's your go-to approach?
You know, we qualitatively, quantitatively, there are a lot of different methods that are employed. The survey approach is probably the most common, the one that is probably most commonly utilized and perceived by most consumers as being most invasive. There's also the scripted follow-up telephone call. You know, really, I come back to the recovery debate versus sort of the whole business of fixing problems. There are,
you know, do me a favor. Yeah. The listeners, they weren't in on our conversation on the subway on the way here. Okay. Recovery.
Yeah.
Explain it.
Well, I mean, what we're saying is that most consumers come into a service environment with a set of expectations. And depending upon the situation, those expectations are heightened or they're not heightened. If it's a birthday party, a special occasion, they're probably heightened. If it's just going out for pizza on a Friday evening, you do it. It's run of the mill. It's your day-to-day. You're not really thinking about it until something goes wrong. When something
goes
wrong...
Doc, you don't know about pizza in Brooklyn.
Okay. I'm about to find out all about it, I hope.
It's not run of the mill. All right.
But my point is that when things go wrong, it's really how the organization reacts to that. And there are two approaches to that. One of them is what we call managing failure. The other one is service recovery. Managing failure is, to me, a very reactive thing. Someone brings to your attention there's a problem. You jump on it. Oh, I'll take 20% off the bill. You know, some people are happy with that. I'm not. I want to know what they're going to do about the problem. So I tend to walk away and I want to write the letter. I want to make the telephone call and I want them to engage in what I call recovery management. And depending upon how they do that, you know, the debate that has existed for some time is that you'll generate a greater degree of satisfaction fixing the problem than you would have generated in the first instance had you got things right.
Well, the satisfaction will be the satisfaction of the consumer who experienced the deficiency.
That's it.
Because I presume you are allowing that consumer to actually affect the company that delivered the service.
Well, they can in many
ways. They absolutely can.
Of course they can. The worst thing, and this is what drives me nuts, is where I'm sitting in a situation, I'm having a meal, and it's what I call closing the check. And that doesn't have to happen, you know, with the bottom line and the signature. That has to happen on the way out the door. I want someone to take a second to say, not, you know, have a good day, have a good night. I want someone, or not even ask me if I had a good meal experience. I want them to ask me, what could we have done to improve it? A very simple little thing, and it's one of those little things as a program we sort of practice day and daily with our kids.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason that there are those mints at the door when you leave. Your last experience, there's a science to the last experience that you have. One of the most fascinating pieces of experience like that I've encountered, Dr. O'Neill, is that in many areas, not New York really, but in many areas where driving and valet parking is a component of your evening, the restaurateur loses control over your experience once that person steps out the door and tries to get their car.
Yeah.
And it can ruin an evening.
Yeah.
The you could have the greatest meal, you could have had the greatest service, and your departure from the venue can tear you up.
But it's why we sort of have to work a little bit harder. I mean, the most obvious example of that is contracting out a laundry service. Everything else about the visit might be perfect, but when it gets down to the bedding or it gets down to the tableware, there may be a flaw. So it's about quality throughout the chain of supply. Right. And that's all about understanding inputs. It's all about understanding outputs. It's all about understanding relationships between each customer supplier group in the chain.
Dr. Martin O'Neill, I am fascinated with this subject matter. By nature, as an attorney, research is part of my life. Answering the why questions are critical to what I do every day. So selfishly, I'm enjoying hearing you talk about it. But we're gonna conclude today's program.
Okay.
With a couple of little takeaways. And then when our listeners come back next week, you're going to hear all about Auburn University and the hospitality program there and the brewing program.
You need to afford me one closure, though, just before you break
it off. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
But my takeaway is this. there are many, many people who are beginning a walk into the journey of hospitality as an industry. They don't think of academia right off the bat as an alternative area. If you are inclined, give an idea of what the path should be.
I want to say the path for me, finish your undergraduate, go into the real world. Get that experience base. There's nothing worse than standing before a class without that. At a point in your life where you decide something is of interest, you'd like to pursue it further, go back to graduate school. Take the thesis option. Work on that. You know, there's very little difference today between the project you do on a non-thesis master's versus the project or the research study you do on a thesis master's. They're both primary research. Go down that pathway. Go back into the real world if you so desire. If you decide that research is your thing, well, by all means, move on and get your doctorate and, you know, plant your feet in the classroom and see what it's all about. The wonderful thing is you've got the knowledge base, you've got the experience base, you can make a difference in young people's lives.
How many schools in the U.S. offer a PhD in hospitality?
I want to say the last time we did the count, and we were one of them, 14. I think we're probably 14. Closer now to about 17 schools offering a PhD program.
I think that's an important number. Dr. Martin O'Neill, before we close...
War Damn Eagle.
Well, we're going to start the next show with War Damn Eagle. I avoided talking about my favorite subject, which is this year's college football season. It's made the New Yorker in me, who is a Giants fan and a Knicks fan, been able to ignore the pain.
Yeah.
By paying attention to college football, particularly Auburn football. And they'll be playing for the national championship.
Sure will.
That's right.
January 6th
against
Florida State University.
The dreaded.
Yeah. Not so dreaded. I think we're happy to see them in it.
I think you might be right. Yeah. Hey, Dr. O'Neill, thanks. And folks, this is Phil Colicchio. You've listened to The Business of the Business. We had a terrific guest today, Martin O'Neill. Stick around. Listen to our terrific programming. And please tune in next week. When you're going to hear Dr. O'Neill talk about the specifics of the Auburn programs. Until then, have a great week. Stay warm.
Thank you, Phil.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.